Welcome to San Diego Magazine's Happy Half Hour. And my gosh, Troy, I haven't seen you in so long. We took the summer off. Yeah. We did some cool stuff, and now we're at the Summer Classic. We are at Petco Park in a suite with the one and only Mud watching the Padres game.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. People are not happy with us. And I apologize to everyone out there. We did take the summer off from the podcast. There was a baby to raise.
You should feel ashamed of yourself, Troy.
You know, I am. I'm publicly.
You're going to let a baby get in the way of you being on the air?
I know. It's ridiculous.
That's it. Seriously, I looked at my wife and I'm like, can that baby podcast? I don't know. I don't know if this is worth it.
Congratulations, by the way. Thank you. You are the giver of life.
Thank you. You guys all want to hear a story really quick?
And then is it long?
It's a 17-minute story, but I'm going to take this down into within 30 seconds.
Oh, this is the best story.
This is the most terrifying story in the world.
You and your wife got together.
Okay. This is the story of how babies are made. This is great. So 3 weeks ago, we have this beautiful baby boy named Jasper. Jasper Johnson. Just happy, self-content.
JJ.
He'll play by himself, look over you, laugh, and go on his business. You know, I mean, the best baby, especially when we just own a media company. And, you know, we have a lot going on, right? So 3 weeks ago, we find that he has a white spot on the top of his palate. And I mean, like a very concerning white spot. Like, I mean, we do not know what it is. And I don't make light of this in any way, shape, or form, because as you go through this story, you realize that, you know, when you go through the Children's Hospital program, that there are people, it puts everything in perspective. But so we find this thing and we go, what the heck is that? And we try to like get our fingers in there and dislodge it and everything else. No, it doesn't dislodge. We're like, is it bone? Is it a malformed palate? Is it, you know, and is it worse than that? And my dad was a dentist. He looks at it and he goes, I've never seen it before, but it's not inflamed. You should have it checked out though. Go to one doctor. First doctor says, I have never seen this before in my life. An ENT specialist. He goes, you need to get an MRI and a CAT scan on this kid right away. And we're like, oh my God, this kid is so happy and healthy. Like, I don't understand. I really don't. And so I call Rady's and we visit with the chief medical officer. And he goes, I've never seen this before.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen this before. We need to put your child under and just, you know, take a biopsy of this. And I go, oh my God. So my wife and I just, I mean, this is 3 weeks. This literally just happened a week ago. 3 weeks, we're just dying. We don't know what's going on, you know, and you're terrified and everything else. You see, you go to the Children's Hospital. We see our son get taken away in the gurney, you know, and that's the worst feeling. I mean, in the world, you know, and again, perspective. There are people there dealing with a lot more than we're dealing with, you know, but you see him go away. My wife's just kind of crying. And, you know, we 2 minutes later, the doc comes out and he goes, puts a specimen jar on the table and he goes, it's a sticker.
A sticker, Mud.
What? Like off of what?
Like
a pair of socks?
A gala apple?
Or like a banana?
Or like a piece of furniture that they had that this is part H or something, you know?
Oh. He was putting together something from IKEA.
It was? For 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Literally, I start laughing because of levity. You just entered the room. My son's okay. You know, and my wife goes, don't, no, no.
And I'm like, oh, no. You have a table at your house that has three legs. You still can't find it.
Right. I'm like, he's terrible at putting together furniture. He puts it in his mouth. Anyways,
wow,
okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear he's okay.
Isn't that crazy? Okay, so I'm sorry. I just went through this. I had to share with this. This has nothing to do with today. But thank you, everybody that's been listening to our podcast. Thank you so much. Obviously, that's part of why we've been gone for 3 weeks or a month or a summer or whatever. But we are so glad to have Mark Mudcat Grant with us.
I'm so happy to be here. I remember last time. How long ago was it?
It was 3 years ago?
It was pre-COVID,
obviously.
Years ago.
Yeah. It seemed like, yeah. And you haven't changed a bit.
Oh, my God. I'm just a little bit older, a little fatter. You know what I mean? I mean,
He wasn't even like, no, you're not. He's like,
you look
no,
great.
That's a correct back summation,
the,
Troy.
Back from the Channel 4 days, the Quattro, you have not changed a bit. Remember those days at the Quattro? The countywide leader?
Do you even remember those taglines? Because you had to say them all the time. That's the best. Yes, I totally remember those days. The days when they put me up. You know, I don't want to bore you guys with this story. I want to talk to Mark. But, you know, they hired me to be the pregame of the pregame show host.
Yeah.
And they said, look, we're going to have a bunch of celebrities. You're going to be our Jon Stewart. It's going to be a talk show about baseball. And I said, that's fantastic. Only we didn't really realize that there weren't very many celebrities coming to San Diego games. You know? So the whole time they're like, okay, it's an hour long show. Stretch, Troy. Stretch. Just talk. I'm like.
And you were good at it.
Oh, you
And you were good at
I
it.
I love you so much.
Seriously.
You are generous.
You're talented. You have a unique perspective on things. You have a unique personality, which I admire.
Thank you.
Why be normal? First of all, we can go really deep into this, but what is normal, right?
Exactly.
Be yourself. Be colorful.
Put together some weird metaphors.
Love everyone and just... have fun.
Well, and that's exactly how I feel when I'm talking, when I'm watching you on the show. This is 27 years that you've been a broadcaster, right? 27 years?
It's gone by quickly, yes. Yes, my first season was 96.
When you started, did you think you're like,
I wanted it to be a career. Yeah. And okay. I'm very lucky that it's gotten to this. I was lucky to play, first of all.
Sure.
Meet all the people in
the career.
Oh, that
needle in that haystack? I mean, no matter how much talent you have, it's hard to get in.
And thinking of being traded here in 87 from the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time there were 26 teams. I could have been traded to New York. I could have been traded to Cincinnati. I could have been traded to wherever. Come to San Diego and been here ever since 87.
My God.
As a player.
Now, when you first landed in San Diego, we need to go deep, but were you like, oh, this town kind of sucks? Or were you like, okay, it's a postcard, but it has no culture? Or what did you think, and how do you think of it's evolved?
Well, I was lucky because my wife now, she was my girlfriend at the time. She lived here in San Diego.
Oh,
how about that?
You had a tour guide.
So I lived in San Francisco playing with the Giants.
Yep.
I get traded to the Padres. She's living here working.
Yeah.
And now my wife of 33 years. So it's like, I just remember coming to San Diego as a player. And it's like, this is awesome coming to this ballpark each and every day. And that was then Jack Murphy Stadium. And living in, where did we live? Scripps Ranch area, I think.
I grew up there. Yeah.
Yeah. And just coming down the 15 and just going to the ballpark every day and met great teammates, played with great players, became friends with them still to this day. I mean, that's the thing I look at. You know, the playing comes and goes.
Yeah.
But I, Troy, I can pick up my phone right now and call Bruce Hurst and talk for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Dennis Rasmussen, John Kruk. I just saw Sandy Alomar Jr. in the Cleveland clubhouse.
God,
he
amazing.
And I were teammates.
I still remember John Kruk's swing. It was like he was trying to clean the ceiling.
There you go.
Know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just like, there's something stuck up in the corner of the ceiling. I'm trying to get.
Yeah,
it.
Getting rid of the popcorn stuff.
Yes.
300 hitter, by the way, for his career.
Oh my!
He finished a 300 hitter right on the nose.
What was your career batting average?
Anyway, you want to talk food today?
I will listen to this conversation all day long. I'm just like, I'm a kid in a candy store or a kid in a store full of acai bowls and Philly cheesesteaks.
We are good.
We're going to
talk about this food, and I'm going to go grab some in a second because you've got Mud versus Food. I've seen that you do. This is, I mean, it's really been fun watching as somebody that does food TV.
It's fun
looking up at you, and I'm like, oh, he's good at this too. This is pissing me off. I'm like, Mark, you're only supposed to be good at baseball. This is my lane. Get out of it. We're going to talk about the food here in a second. I want to talk though about just this season. You know, like, how has it been different this season? I mean, obviously we've seen, you know, a team invest in ways as a San Diego native that we've never seen before. And the attendance is through the roof. I mean, is excitement that much higher every day?
Yes. I will kind of paraphrase, but there's so much to talk about regarding that. First of all, it starts with Mr. Seidler and the ownership group.
Mm-hmm.
They want a winner bad. They want this city to get a championship. The fans, as you well know, Troy, we're starved, right, as for a championship.
Yep.
So Mr. Seidler and everybody else showing a commitment, getting the players they want to have on the field, long-term contracts, all that good stuff. Now, hey, it looks great on paper, but as we know, you got to play every game. You got to play, right? You just can't, you know, throw your gloves out there. So, hey, kind of scuffling right now, but in the wild card, and that's what it's all about, just getting in. You know,
you get to that
like
dance.
The Braves last year, right? They won 88 games last year. Dodgers won 108. Guess who won the World Series?
And they lost a star player.
The Braves, right. The Braves, that's right. So it just goes to show you just get in, get hot, and you never know.
That's all
you need. So, yeah, it's – baseball's a challenge. I hate to use the cliche. It's a marathon, not a sprint. There are ups and downs. I mean, look at the Yankees. They've got like 75 wins or something, and they've lost like 16 of their last 22 or something ridiculous like that. So every team goes through it. It's just a matter of at the right time getting hot. Hopefully that's right around. Hopefully that starts today.
And is Jorge Alfaro's theme song the best theme song?
El Rey or Volver?
El Rey. Oh my God. When that plays, my heart swells. I fall in love with everyone around me.
Jorge, first of all, is a good kid. Great. He's a good egg. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He leaves it all out on the field. He gives it his all every single time. Do I hear the crowd singing along with that song, or is it the song itself where people are in the background?
Because
it sounds like everybody's chiming in.
It is the Neil Diamond Sweet
Caroline.
Isn't it great?
Experience. It's
right?
great. I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, let's talk food now. All right. I'm gonna pause me by a moment to edit this out. Do you mind,
Tiffany? Gonna help it out?
Okay. We have a friend here.
Tiffany Seal from the media relations, right?
Hi, Padres. Hi, Tiffany. Tiffany's going to be good enough for us to maybe bring over some food, and we can talk about what we got going on at the concessions this year. I mean, because obviously you and I both like to eat a little bit.
I do.
You're kind of the Guy Fieri of Padres baseball. You know, I mean, you guys both have signature hairstyles. You know, I mean, so you've gone around. I mean, you've tasted everything. I mean, you do a segment up on the Jumbotron. Do they still call it a Jumbotron? Or am I stuck in 1984?
That's so 1984.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It's Tiffany. What is that called? The big board. Video board.
Okay, it's a video board. Yeah, so Mutt does these segments, you know, where he's going around and meeting with the vendors, and there's a lot of local places, including, which I see over there, the Cholito, which is a hot dog from Barrio Logan, from one of my favorite places, Barrio Dog.
Yeah.
Have you eaten this thing? Obviously, you can't eat these every single day. There must be a kale salad and a chia seed thrown in there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely, sure. I have experienced Barrio Dog, and I have partaken in this particular hot dog. It's a...
It was as if you joined a cult, sir.
Yeah, it's not just your standard throw a hot dog in a bun and throw some mustard on it. I mean, this is dragging it through the garden and even a little bit more.
Dude, this is dragging it through a Mexican wedding buffet. You got mayo, mustard, ketchup, red onion, Roma tomatoes, chopped fresh jalapeno, cilantro, country garlic, grilled onions, cheddar cheese, sour cream, salsa verde, and sriracha aioli on a brioche bun.
Wrapped in a burrito. No, I'm kidding.
I think you're onto something there.
No. But no, this is a gourmet hot dog. And I will be honest with you. I will eat hot dogs. I do like hot dogs, but it wouldn't be like on my top four or five, whatever. But I do enjoy this hot dog here. I mean, don't get me wrong. When it comes to food, I'll pretty much eat anything.
Same.
But, you know, but hot dog, this is really unique. So if you like a lot of stuff on your hot dog and a high-end hot dog, this is where to go.
And think about it when you were playing. I mean, when you were playing, there was just really one hot dog, some buttery popcorn that kind of, you know, it was yellow. Fluff. I don't know what it was. There wasn't butter. There was nothing natural found in earth, you know, on that stuff, you know, and a soda or a beer.
And the vendor would throw you the hot dog wrapped up, and maybe there'd be a mustard packet or a ketchup packet or whatever, and then that was your hot dog. This is more high end. This is gourmet.
I mean, this is.
And I've eaten already, so I can't.
Oh, you don't have to. We won't make you eat this one. I know that you've partaken in this, as you've said.
Yeah, I have. I have, and it's good. It's really good. And you know what else I have found through sandwiches and hot dogs and stuff like that? It's the bread. I mean, everything on this is great, but the bread makes the sandwich, does it not?
When you get a hot dog and it has like that, it almost feels like, you know, the stale bread that's been out for like 6 or 7 days, and you're like, maybe we can make some French toast out of this, but its redemption has passed us by.
The bread is fantastic. Yeah, exactly. It really is.
And that's any sandwich.
Yes.
You know?
Is a hot dog a sandwich? I know we've talked about that before.
That is blaspheme. Yeah. No, it is not a sandwich.
I agree.
And anybody who claims that, yes, it's something between two pieces of bread, but no, it is its own holy, sanctified food group.
And the bread is connected.
Yes. Absolutely. That's what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, I feel very strongly about this.
Okay? I do too.
Hey,
we
got the national anthem warming up.
Already?
Right,
what? First pitch right around the corner? Stay tuned. Troy Johnson.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Mark Mudcat is now missed at his place of business.
But no, Barrio Dog, very good place for a hot dog if you're a hot dog lover.
Okay, now some of the new stuff. You got what? Negihama sushi?
I love sushi. I absolutely love sushi. I think, you know, the cliche people say, I can eat fill in the blank every day?
Yeah.
I think I could eat sushi every day.
Same.
I really do.
It's so delicious, but when you leave, you feel full, you're satiated, but you're not like, you don't feel like you have to find the nearest soft furniture and go horizontal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You're just like, I feel good. I can dance.
Everything from the rice to the fresh fish to the, if you like, certain types of rolls, like the cream cheese, the cucumber, I mean, I can go on and on. It's just
go on about cream cheese. I'm good.
My gosh. I just love everything about it.
Yeah,
I really do.
Me too.
And I love to explore, too, different. You know, there's the Philadelphia roll, the California roll, but I like to go kind of off the board a little bit to more of a kind of exotic type stuff to try it out.
You ever gone in and done an omakase where you just say, like, whatever you've got behind there?
Oh, like kind of surprise me?
Yeah.
I did do that once.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that's That's part of the experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. They know better than I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like going into a wine shop and I'm like, I'm not going to tell myself what to buy here. Like,
sure.
You're the wine person.
You're the expert.
Yeah.
You put something together and thrill me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You don't need to know the topography of my mouth. You know the good stuff. All right. So you got and Samba's on. You're getting some acai bowls. So this is where you can have breakfast too.
Yeah.
Like, because you get to park. What time?
I get to the ballpark about 3.5 hours before first pitch.
Okay. All right. So 10 a.m.
I've had the acai bowl. The peanut butter and chocolate one.
Oh,
gosh.
This is what I'm talking
Like what I'm talking about here. This particular one that Tiffany just gave us. Is this the fruit one, Tiffany? Blueberries, strawberries, granola, banana with acai. Now, this stuff not only tastes delicious and is fantastic, it's also good for you.
Yes.
It's a berry from the Amazon.
It is a berry from the Amazon.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing, like, we grew up, I mean, I grew up eating...
Captain Crunch and Trix.
That's exactly what I was
going to Do you remember Quisp?
Quisp, no.
It was the spaceship. It was a Martian.
Oh, kind of coming back to me, certain traumas.
Q-U-I-S-P, Quisp. And it was a little, it looked like a little bowl, but it was actually like a spaceship.
See, now this is why, I mean, I have been accused of having ADHD, you know, and I actually have.
I have it.
And I don't say that lightly. I actually was diagnosed. So this is very serious. I don't make light of ADHD whatsoever.
No.
But I think that genuinely, because I grew up eating sugar cereal all the time, man. And then this kind of stuff comes out and you're like, oh my God, I could eat and have it delicious.
Do you remember that box?
He found it. He pulled up Quisp. No.
You don't remember that?
Part of the
maybe it was a Midwest thing. I grew up in Joliet, Illinois, south of Chicago.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a Midwestern thing.
You kind of have. So anyway, so you got acai bowls, which is kind of nice because honestly, at the end of the day, you come to a ballpark and you know that you're going to eat badly. And I am fully embrace that for myself.
Sure.
Like, you know, I mean, that's a full life pursuit is to be ruinous about my personal health for a couple hours. Right. But some days you're like, you know what? I don't want to overeat today. I want to have something healthy. So anyways, you got some acai bowls at the ballpark.
And this will fill you up too nicely.
Oh, yeah.
This bowl right here. A lot.
Do you think there's any other ballpark in the country you probably know that actually would have an acai bowl at it other than Petco Park?
If I were a betting man, no.
Right.
Although, when I travel to other ballparks, I really don't know what is going on in said ballpark as far as concessions.
You have a job to do.
Well, yeah. They each have their own, you know, geographical type, probably bill of fare.
Yeah.
As according to, like, cheesesteaks in Philly and whatever.
Yeah.
Pizza in New York, but I think this is a ballpark that probably would be the only that would have the acai bowl.
Oh yeah, I mean they're like, here's your yoga mat, sir. Would you like that served?
Goat yoga.
Goat yoga.
And they've got goats behind there. You have your acai bowl. You get in the down dog, and there's a goat standing on you.
We just did a video for San Diego Magazine about goat yoga. Oh, it's real. Oh, it's real.
There's one out in Alpine where I live.
Yeah, I think that might have been the one.
I love goats. I think they're so cute.
I know.
I think they'd be a great pet. I want a potbelly pig and a goat.
Oh, okay, so a farmer. We're seeing farming in your future.
Yeah. No farming.
No,
just
a petting zoo.
Just, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I just don't want to eat the couch.
I don't know how far deep I got into your psyche right now, but it's a special place. And I feel honored.
I love animals, and I just have always loved goats and pigs.
Okay, so come get your acai bowl, which will get served on a signature yoga mat. It is not. That's not true. It's like you get the ice cream in the helmet. Tiff, what else do you have over there?
This is also the winner of Critics' Choice and People's Choice for Best Restaurant San Diego Grand Ole Barbecue.
Grand Ole, the fact that you have Grand Ole here, so you know.
It's out in East County near me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a magical
wonderland. Just off the 8.
Magical wonderland. Have you been out?
I have,
okay.
And it's fantastic. And
the big backyard, the live music stage, the misters, the like shaded bar.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. So when I'll get the little background on this is when Guy Fieri brought Triple D Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives to San Diego. He always
cool.
So he called me and he's like, "Where do you go?" And honestly, I love Grand Ole Barbecue so much. I mean, and this is a kid who really knows how to do Texas brisket and owner Andy. And but you're talking to Guy Fieri, who's been to every single barbecue joint in America, right? He's tasted the best of the best. And I'm like, in San Diego for a long time, did not have barbecue. Not great barbecue.
Yeah.
We struggled in the barbecue arts, right? So I was like, God, am I really going to recommend this to him? And I recommended it to him. And I was so nervous the day that we showed up there. We showed up there together. We filmed it together. And he was like, he tasted it. And I'm kind of looking at him. You're like, it's like Mikey. You know, does Mikey like
it? Right.
You're like, looking
now,
at it.
So he experienced it.
And he loved it. He was like, oh my God.
Do you think he would tell you otherwise?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
because he's so honest?
Oh, he would joy. He would revel in the joy at telling me that I had a bad pick.
Really?
I mean, we're friends like that.
Okay, good.
Particularly likes to rip me.
Okay.
You know, so he would have been like,
so he would have been
terrible.
A friend.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, he tastes it and he goes, wait a minute. You're not even using a gas assist on that thing. You're using all sticks, meaning all wood, like real wood. That's how you do real barbecue. He goes, no, all sticks. And he goes, whoa. Wow. And he's been talking about this place. So anyways, Grand Ole Barbecue here. This is a brisket sandwich. This is just like traditional Texas brisket.
Yeah.
Smoked for like 12 hours. You just look at this thing and it falls
apart.
Oh
my gosh, it's fabulous. I just had some. Oh my gosh. It melts in your mouth, really. I know that that's an old cliche, but it's remarkable.
I know. Mm. Yeah.
All right. So,
wow. So good.
And then we have what is? Oh, we got.
They just keep bringing more and more food to us. Like,
this you guys, is pretty much you guys at home. Ever. I really hope that you're enjoying this. I know that it's kind of torture that I'm telling you like what all the great food that's being brought to us right now. But they also have Puesto, and Puesto is the local success story. Mm-hmm. They're about ready to open up their first Italian concept in La Jolla called Marisi, and they've hired a 3-star or a 2-star Michelin chef actually to open it up. It's where Whisk and Ladle used to be.
Okay,
it's in La Jolla. You guys got to check it out. I think we're going to do a first look at it for San Diego Magazine. But Puesto basically. They took a sous chef from 11 Madison Park, which is the highest rated restaurant in the country. And they had him do the R&D on their recipes for tacos.
Wow.
So they really invested in this. And it's that crispy cheese. I mean, you know.
And you know, it's just when you hear taco, right? This is like gourmet type taco, upscale type stuff that won't, you know. It won't disappoint. Yeah. It's just a different type of taste, but. Just
and it's like when your friend tells you he has a sports car and you're expecting like a Celica, you know what I mean? He shows up
Volkswagen Scirocco.
Yes, I love the Scirocco.
I had a
that
Scirocco.
Was a sweet car. Did you really?
Yeah, I did. It was my second car
that
ever.
Was a sweet car.
It was a sweet car. Loved
if
it.
You were single and young, you had the 2-door Scirocco. Oh yeah,
then you weren't single anymore. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he shows up in like an Aston Martin, you know, this is the Aston Martin of tacos. You got a crispy cheese, blue corn tortillas, I mean, real fresh guacamole. I mean, they put real good high-end ingredients. And when we say high-end, it doesn't mean it has to be like highfalutin truffles and gold dust and stuff like that. It's just that like they use good farm food, whereas some places use tomatoes that were grown in Florida, picked unripe, put on a train, gassed to become red, and made it to San Diego, and they're like, this tastes like red water. You know what I mean? Like that's I'm getting the terroir of nowhere. You know, it tastes like a train. You know. Anyways,
well,
these tomatoes were grown in Santee.
Yeah, right. At your place with the goats.
Local.
Yes.
Yes. And my goats guarded the tomato plants. They did not eat them.
Okay, so now all this good food, and I realize that you can't eat this every single day.
Right.
But okay, let's be honest here. Let's get real. What do you eat when you get here? I mean, do you bring your own?
My favorite go-to is Board and Brew, the Turcato sandwich. Mm-hmm. And the sauce is just, you know how we talked about how bread makes a sandwich?
Yeah.
It's great bread on the Turcato. I love turkey. I love avocado.
Yeah.
The sauce that they give you.
I know.
Tiffany, I couldn't even tell you what's in it, but. It is a secret sauce.
Yeah.
But I just put a little bit on each bite of that sandwich, and I'm just...
Oh, I remember that sauce.
I get choked up just talking about it.
I grew up in Rancho Piscitos and Scripps Ranch, you know, and we would take a dirt road to the beach. So they had a dirt road that went, there was no 56 at the time, and you would have to take this dirt road that was like, I mean, it would ruin every single car as soon as you got on it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could tell whichever kid surfed because their car was just ruined from this road. But you take this road and it would dump us off right in Del Mar. And so we would spend our days at like 11th Street, you know, and these little like kids from the inland, you know, kind of getting picked on for the kids that actually live at the beach, you know, it was a whole West Side story sort of thing. But we would sit there and go to Board and Brew and have these sandwiches after every single surf session. It was like, you call it grinds because you literally invest your entire tired soul into that sandwich. And it's a San Diego classic.
Yeah. Well, when I get to the ballpark, like I said, three and a half hours before first pitch, I'm pretty set in my routine, getting ready for the game. But when I do have that window of trying to get something to eat, I'll eat either up in the press dining room here, or I'll go to Board and Brew, or I will go to Sambazon. Mm-hmm. because it's right down one level, field level there. It's convenient, easy to get to.
All right, so
to.
These are Mud's picks. Okay, yeah. Turbato, Sambazon.
Yeah.
All
right, yeah. Those were my two.
Okay.
I wish, you know, like to some people might say, well, why don't you go down a little further? But, you know, I'm setting my routine to where I go do my thing and get, because I don't like to be away from the booth
you're
to where I'm getting ready for the game. So Sambazon and Borden Brew.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about outside of Petco Park food?
Sure.
And this has to do with your broadcast partner, Don.
Okay.
He is always posting on Twitter all the things he's cooking. Have you had this cooking and is he any good?
I have. And it's fabulous. I'm sincere when I say it. When during the pandemic, when we were not traveling with the team, we were doing the games here, the road games, he would bring dinner each and every night. He says, I'm cooking anyway for myself, so he just cooked for me as well. Everything he makes is like top of the line. I mean, this guy.
You guys have such an adorable relationship.
It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Best broadcast duo in business.
Oh, well, easily. Thank you. Thank you very much. But it's legit. It is really legit. Everything he makes.
What does he cook? What's his specialty?
My gosh. He makes really good chicken. He makes good Italian. He makes good pasta.
I see an Orsillo's coming to Petco.
Donatangelo's.
Donatangelo's.
Yeah. The joke is Donatangelo's is his house where he, and I always ask, hey, you got any openings? And he goes, what's your last name again? He goes, no, we don't have anything till like 10:45 tonight. So.
See, you know, I've actually really missed you. And I'm not saying this because, you know, I know you and you paid me to. but you guys, you genuinely are, have always been one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're just funny. And you're real.
Thank you.
Feel like you're talking to somebody that you've known and liked for a long time. You know, and
well, that's probably the biggest compliment I could get, because I want to be, when people are watching the games, listening to the games, I want to be that guy sitting on your couch and we're just yucking it up, having a good time, hopefully teaching a little baseball and telling
like
you why.
Showing you how to hold things.
Right. And telling you why things happen. I don't know all the answers. I'll be the first to say it, because I want to learn too.
Yeah.
I'm talking to manager Bob Melvin each and every day. I talk to Matt Williams, the third base coach, each and every day.
Yeah.
Try to pick up something new that I can learn and relay to on the telecast. So
you got drafted in 1981.
1981.
1981. You got drafted. You've been in this sport for a couple of years, and you're still learning.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Because there's always different people have different perspectives on the game and what they see.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, like Maddox.
You know Tim Flannery, right?
Oh, yeah, Tim. Brought me some moonshine from his.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've experienced that. When we go to Cincinnati, he would go to Kentucky and meet with his relatives, and he'd come back with that mason jar.
Mason jar.
I had it.
And we'd be on the charter, and hey, Mud. You done screw that? And I'm like, oh, here we go. I'll take a swig.
I had that canister, that mason jar in my cupboard for like 2 years, because I was so I was not educated in the arts of moonshine, you know, at the time, because I was still writing about music. That's why we know each other. I wrote about his band. He's a great bluegrass player, right? So I had kept the thing in my cupboard. I was like, I'm not touching it because that makes you go blind.
Right.
No, I'm not going to do it. And finally I did. It was delicious.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but the thing I learned from Flan was this. What he would do in spring training, he'd get the players in a circle, okay?
Yeah.
He would take off his hat and throw it in the middle, spin it, and have it land in the middle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, go with me here. It makes so much sense. Everybody sees a hat. Okay, what do you see over there, Troy, on your side? I see a hat. Okay, John, what do you see on your side? Okay, I say, okay, Bill, whatever. Okay, but from your angle of that hat, what do you see on that hat? Do you see the bill or do you see? No, I don't see the logo. I don't see the bill because of my. The point is, we all see the game of baseball, but we all see it in a different way. Isn't that a great way of describing it?
Yeah. There are 9 different ways of looking at this.
Exactly.
From every different perspective.
And everybody's different. One guy might see the logo. I don't see the logo. Tell me about it.
Yep.
Hey, I see the bill of the cap and the logo. Oh, well, I don't. I just see the back of the cap. Well, tell me about it. What do you see?
Exactly.
Is that a great way
to explain anything in life, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
But baseball itself. What I was going to say about it, saying how much I really appreciate your broadcast skills, you know, being a friend, I missed you this year because I have a baby boy. So you have to watch the game with the sound off. You know what I mean?
He's asleep by like 7, right? So I'm like, all right.
Can you get wireless headphones?
I know.
Well, that's a thought.
Then I tune out my wife, and we limited time.
Is that a bad thing?
I know. Right? she would actually vote and campaign.
That reminds me of
a
story. Quick story. Yeah. My oldest son, who was, I don't know, 14, 13, whatever, one time. Him and his mom got in a little spat. Whatever. It happens, right? So my son comes out to me and goes, hey, Dad. He goes, I don't know what it is, but mom's not talking to me. And I looked at him and I go, and that's a bad thing? He kind of chuckled.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, just the
you know, looked at the hat in a different way,
right? The joys of growing up and raising kids. So, but anyway,
all right. $2.50, Mike. Right. I mean, it's so damn good to see you. I know you have a game to do, and Tiffany's looking at her clock. She's like, he actually has work, guys. Okay, thank you so much for helping us. All right, $2.50, which is one of our favorite segments. It's been in the show for 300 episodes now? What do
we have? I think like 305.
305 episodes.
I remember last time I was here we did this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 1936. Okay, so $2.50, where do you go? Like, I mean, where's one of your favorite places or two of your favorite places where you're like, this is my spot to eat, San Diego?
Okay. Living in Alpine, I'm going to give a shout out to my good friends at Janet's Montana Coffee Cafe. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Okay, it's a really nice little, it looks like you're walking into a cabin, wooded floors, great decor. They've got an outdoor patio. Janet's Montana Cafe.
Okay.
Right in the center of town in Alpine.
And what do you eat? What
they've got a great tuna.
Oh,
no, I tell you, chicken almond croissant sandwich that is just to die for. Mm. And with that lunch, you get a free piece of pie at the end.
Oh, heck.
And I usually go banana cream.
I always go banana cream. That's the only pie I like.
Love banana cream.
That's
reminds me of Gilligan's Island. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
Because that's all they had on the island. And then my second place, I really love the ambiance and the feel when I go down to Little Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Barbusa.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
been to Barbusa?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
PJ Busalaki and
Busalaki
Vinny.
The Busalaki family.
You go there. I go there with my family. Like, once a week, my family, we all get together to go to dinner, and we try to go, you know, in the county to different places.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of times we always navigate back to Barbusa down there in Little Italy. Whoa. And it's the ambiance, the surroundings, the waiters, just the whole thing.
The scene.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It feels,
and the food is fantastic.
I will say that too. I mean, it's interesting because the Busalaki family really helped spearhead the Italian, like good Italian food in San Diego. That's what they basically built Little Italy in Hillcrest.
Right.
You know, father, Joe?
I think it is, yeah.
Sounds right.
Joe Busalaki. Anyways, and then the sons took over this one and they really brought like a new, fresh energy to it. You know, and I went over their house. I had a dinner.
Oh, really?
With the entire Busalaki clan.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was Grandma Busalaki. She sat there. She's just this elegant, like, stoic, beautiful woman, you know, at the end of the table. You know, she's, I don't know, maybe she was in her 70s, maybe 80s. I don't know. You know, and she's sitting there, and she would not say anything. But whenever, and all these, like, boisterous Italians are just, like, telling stories like this over. She would start whispering. They'd go, oh, yep. Mm-hmm, ma'am. What? She ran at all those boys. I mean, she would open her mouth and like everybody would go, excuse me, ma'am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stop. Yep. Whatever you want. Yep. I mean, it was like this really loving Italian. You tell they love to cook. They love to be around the table. They loved, that was where their family happened. And Busalaki's Barbusa feels like that.
And to put a bow on it, when you go to Barbusa and you're there, it's like you are family.
Yeah.
That's how they treat you.
They really do. That's a great call.
Yeah.
All right. So for my $2.50, Bird Rock. Okay. So Bird Rock, the only way you go to Bird Rock is that you have to be very intentional about that because you got to get off the freeway and then you got to go through PB, which, you know, pedestrians kind of walked funny in PB sometimes. You know what I mean? You got to avoid the pedestrians. Sometimes they dart into traffic, you know, waving a balloon, you know, but anyways, you go through all that. And I don't have anything against PB because I lived there for many years and I love it. But then you have to go down into the little place and there's six roundabouts everywhere else. You have to have house envy. You know, you look at all these really nice houses, you go, what app developer lives there? Where did my life go wrong? And then after you get over that emotional trauma, you know, you finally make it to Wayfarer Bread and Pastry. So there's this tiny little bakery owned by Crystal White. She trained at Tartine, which is one of the best bakeries on the planet.
Mm.
You know, it started in San Francisco. It's got all throughout the country now. And they made like the best bakers in the country. Like 30, 40 bakers. They spread out throughout the country and open up little shops.
Right.
Well, one of them's right in Bird Rock. They have this Queen Amon, which is basically kind of a croissant that then they layer sugar in between each layer. So it kind of like gets a caramelization, like a kind of crispy, gooey.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they have this like cream bun that they do tomato confit, which is basically tomatoes kind of blistered in like olive oil or natural fat. And they do herb ricotta on that. oh, I saw. It is so. You just see how you. I start drooling. I'm like, yeah. I can't talk. I went yesterday, and it is just so good. You got to go to Wayfair. Just get a box and just get all the treats, all the things.
Good place to go after a dinner, maybe somewhere close by.
You know, the Fishery over there is a great dinner. You know, Fishery is one of the only, not one of the only, but it's one of the best standouts in PP. And mm-hmm. they do real seafood. They get it from the Saraspi family, who has the only spot prawn fishing license in California. You know, wow. that's a Pacific Beach family. They yeah. bring these spot prawns, these guys. Anyways, great place to get dinner. And then you can go there or just like a morning and then take it, walk 3 blocks down toward the water. There's this little grassy park. You can sit there and overlook La Jolla and all the water and just crush about 15, 20 pastries.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. David?
So I went to the new place that took over Tiger Tiger in North Park because I don't seem to ever leave North Park. And it's an Italian-Japanese fusion type place. I didn't think it was going to work. I didn't think it was going to work at first. But so I got their Godzilla ramen, and it's basically a hybrid of a ramen and an Italian soup kind of. And I'm like, okay. No way. I couldn't believe how good it was. It was phenomenal.
Godzilla wedding soup?
No, they actually put an entire Italian sausage in the soup.
Wow.
Yeah, it was okay. So good with also your typical pork and with the pork broth.
Was it a thicker type soup or was it more of like a traditional, like a chicken noodle type
consistency? More like, it was like the ramen soup, so it was like a tonkatsu broth.
Okay.
And then to creamy. Have the two together and have the two married and actually work, shocked. Also, what? Randomly enough, like one of the best gyozas I've ever had. You can definitely tell they make it in-house. They don't buy it in a bag.
Oh, I love a gyoza. I basically lived on those through college. Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Into the freezer, under my pants.
Yeah. Definitely. But go check that place out. It's pretty good.
Right. Cool.
Wait, what was the name of it again?
Sinkuni.
Sinkuni. And this is, I want to say that this is right down the street from David. So what David is doing during these shows is he's just basically throwing out props to his local neighbors so that they, so that they give him free gyoza.
That is 100% not true.
All right.
Well, thanks, Mud. Thank you so much,
David.
For being
thank
here
you very much.
This is amazing.
Appreciate
everyone
Troy.
Come see the Padres, eat some amazing food.
Love the Ray-Bans.
Yeah, you got to do the classic, which I love. I appreciate your eyewear as well, sir.
I try to
you
mix know? It up.
Yeah,
I try to mix it up.
It's a classic. It's like the little black dress of the face.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Less is more, and it fits you perfectly.
Thank you so much. All right, buddy. Well, we will have to eat, crush some food.
Absolutely. You've got my number, dude. Bother me, will you?
Occasionally, I do. I'm like, that was a great line, man.
David, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mocat. Go
You're
Padres.
Welcome, guys. Go Pods.